All right, Dave Plyer here on 720 WGN. So how much money has been spent on advertising in the first five decades of the Super Bowl? Yep, it's over $5 billion. Any company that wants to have a 30-second spot during the game will pay an average of $5.2 million, and that's slightly above what it was last year. And on top of that, of course, the companies have to pay to produce the ads themselves, pay for the talent, which adds several million more dollars on that. Tonight, we are previewing the Super Bowl commercials. Joining me in studio is a true marketing professional, one of the most talented guys that I know, my buddy Jeff Rogers, president of Zap Creative. He's on the board of Chicago's Factory Theater, Second City alum. He's got a lot of stuff going on, and he's joining us. What's going on, buddy?
Excited to be here. Big game. Woo-hoo!
Big game. Jeff and I have been talking about watching these spots all week long, and there's always something I get ridiculously excited about.
Right.
Even if it's a tease, it's a 15-second tease, or I actually saw the spot already, I'm like, this is funny. I laughed my ass off watching this thing. I'm not there on any of those just yet.
No, right? Not at all. Right. No, and even the tease, like, you'll see a couple of teaser spots for Burger King is doing it this year, where they've got a couple of teaser spots, but there's nothing that's, oh, this is going to be so, yeah. I wonder what they're going to do with this.
You know? You know, Doritos, and this always strikes me, because I know that there's some companies that get bored with their own advertising, so they change it up because they're bored, but the consumer's not bored. And the Doritos contest of doing those spots and having people submit commercial, those were always the ones I look forward to. Like, I would look at the schedule to see when the Doritos spots were, and the Bud Light.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the Dorito spots this year, which we'll get to in a little bit, it's like, where's the strategy behind this?
Yeah.
and I'm watching, and I have to look up when I'm seeing other people review the spots. There was this one person that was really excited, I think from USA Today, about several of these spots. And then I looked up that individual to see who they were, like Facebook or whatever. Right. And they're 20-somethings, and no offense to all of our millennials out there, but, like, if you see this as being great, I'm not quite sure if you ever saw maybe some of the classic spots that we've been watching for years. Like, I don't know how they're gauging that.
Like the frogs or, like, the... it's all of that. So yeah. It becomes a cultural touchstone. If it's done right, you can really parlay a great Super Bowl commercial into an incredible brand experience, something that everyone is talking about. But there's a couple of things that go into it, right? Like Sam was talking about GoDaddy having something that couldn't be aired on TV. You can go too far. Groupon's first foray.
But just the buzz around that GoDaddy spot gave them some exposure.
So,
right?
And if you're okay with your brand being in that space, you know, being sort of that, not X-rated, but in that sort of negative conversation, that's okay. As long as that pulls people in at the end of the day, what's the ROI? What's the return on investment for that? But I think there's so much, there's so many people who are playing it safe this year. That's what it feels like. It feels like a lot of people, a lot of brands are playing it safe, or they've gone so esoteric that I feel like they overshot it.
Well, the political correctness, of course, is I think has kind of killed comedy to a degree.
That's that. Yeah, it's a tricky. It makes it much trickier.
Because I was watching some Dorito spots from the past, and a couple friends that were in a couple of them, and they were funny as hell, but it was a boyfriend-girlfriend argument and blah, blah, blah. So is that not acceptable now? Like, I seriously, have we watered it down to such a point where we can't even enjoy life anymore? I mean, right?
Yeah, it's something that you have to really take into consideration. All of the different voices that you're using in that spot, you have to make sure that they're represented well. And, you know, so it becomes a whole different process for those writers and those creatives.
Doesn't it also depend on who they're trying to reach?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, who they're trying to target and how they're going about communicating with them, absolutely part of the equation.
For example, I may not be the person that a certain brand is trying to reach. I'm not going to care for that commercial.
I find that difficult to believe. What? You are a target.
No, I am not a target. I'm a moving target. But somebody in their early 20s might be the target, and they will fawn over that commercial. They'll come back on Monday at the water cooler and just praise it up and down and go out and buy the product or invest in this or whatever.
So let's talk about this Doritos commercial. So it is a it's Chance the Rapper with the Backstreet Boys, and they're kind of reliving their moment in time. And I don't get how Chance got into this whole story, but it's not funny. It's throwback, and the person that a couple people that I've seen review this spot, they're like, "Isn't this great? The Backstreet Boys are kind of reliving that moment, and Chance is in there." And it's like,
it's the mashup. Yeah, it's the idea of the mashup rather than the execution, right? Because the execution of it is kind of, you know, it's just there, but the idea of that is it's a fun idea. So
it is.
That's where they're kind of living with it is you that the idea.
Flamin' Hot Nacho. They made the original hot, hot, hot. When I
say I want it that. Ooh, hot stuff all over my nachos, walking like a taco, driving over potholes, hotter than a pot roast, fingers on my hot chips, red handed, come on, man, I'ma need some chopsticks, probably the house, and I'ma need another outfit.
Roger's just shaking his head back and forth. But my son might dig this, maybe because of Chance.
Well,
doing
Chance
it.
Makes it cool, makes it relevant for them, and it's
and then it talks to the 30-somethings or 40-somethings that grew up with the Backstreet Boys, but I could give a crap.
Yeah, that's what I was just saying.
Right.
Yeah, I hear that, and you know, I like music, and I kind of remember the Backstreet Boys because our daughter was growing up at that time. She fell in love with them, but I still don't, just from listening to what you just played, I still have no clue what they're trying to sell.
Well, right, exactly.
And you know what I'm saying?
Well, that's the other thing, too, is you see these spots, and sometimes they are so funny, you remember how funny it was, mm-hmm. and you can tell the whole commercial.
Exactly.
You have no idea what the brand is.
Right.
And which you come into all the time.
Well, you know, the other thing that I think is really big this year is the, what's really big with millennials is this idea of giving back. Right, having a cause or
sure.
a purpose.
Yep.
And so you've seen a lot of commercials this year really tending mm-hmm. that way.
Yep.
Microsoft, I think, is going to be the big winner in terms of the heartstrings
mm-hmm.
Category.
Oh, yeah.
They've got it's a really, it'll depend on how they cut it. They have a 3-minute version of it so far. I don't think they've bought a 3-minute.
So all kids should be able to play video games,
yeah.
especially the differently abled kids that are out there. You got that too? Let's take a listen.
My name is Grover.
Sean.
My name is Ian.
I'm Taylor.
My name is Owen, and I am 9 and a half years old.
I only have one.
And yeah.
I love video games, my friends, my family, and again, video games.
Whenever I play it, it makes me feel happy.
The fun that you get to have with connecting with your friends.
You make your own rules?
It's his way of interacting.
So this is a 2-minute spot, and you're right, pulling on your heartstrings. But here's the thing. I watched it already.
Yeah.
You know, I think maybe even these spots, I would, you know, those are the ones I guess that make people pause when they're watching the game, and the room gets quiet if you're at a party when you see something like this. You know, I get the previewing them, but previewing them is like a 15-second preview.
Right.
You can see the whole spot. I almost think it kind of ruins it for me a little bit.
You can overplay your hand, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And so if you do that, then you risk the idea of the impact for the actual the time
That's
that you
true.
Bought.
Yeah.
And you've already overplayed it. But for Microsoft, I think the idea was get it out early, get it out often, get it out as much as you can, and then have it finally land in the Super Bowl.
This will be one that will probably continue to play
without a doubt.
Yeah. One other point, and the three of us talking about this, is we analyze these things as a business. This is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
You guys deal with commercials all the time. I used to deal with commercials. I used to produce them. I used to write them. I used to sell them. And so we look more critically at these as opposed to Joe Schmo, who's watching the football game, has no clue, it's not even his wheelhouse, that this commercial has already been shown. And boom, as they're reaching for another nacho, the commercial comes on. Now, how does that person react?
Well, they might just tell their friends while they're sitting there watching, hey, wait, we got to watch this one. This is good.
Yeah, I've seen right. this. And yeah, right. So that's a completely different effect than the three of us have just had.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about some categories here. So beverages, the Budweiser Clydesdales are back. They didn't do it last year, which is crazy because it's such a tradition in the Super Bowl. I saw the spot. The song is Blown in the Wind. It's
Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan, but I was...
So what they're trying to connect there is that they use wind power for a large number of their breweries or a certain number of their breweries. And so really trying to connect with the eco crowd and the green sort of energy production for their breweries and, you know, the classic Clydesdales and the Dalmatian.
But I've always been, I mean, most of the Clydesdale commercials that I've seen, the Budweiser commercials, they always wowed me. And I know the 9/11 was the really big one, but I just, this was kind of like, okay.
Yeah, it didn't have the tearjerker, because they really do have that down to a science. I mean, they
do.
They play that so incredibly well.
Stella Artois has a commercial with Sex and the City Sarah Jessica Parker playing her role of Carrie, and then Jeff Bridges.
Dude,
let's just take a little listen to this one.
Hello. Good to see you again.
Likewise.
Please, Cosmopolitan.
No, tonight I'll have a Stella Artois. You're Stella, please. Thank you. Thanks.
No, Gary, give me a Stella Artois. Awesome.
That's the funniest spot. I love that, yeah.
Excuse me.
So there's this crossover of these kind of iconic, you know, characters and stars, and I fell flat at the end.
Like, it so felt like a miss. Like it was like there was such a possibility here.
Right, right. You felt like, okay, nothing.
And then no payoff.
Yeah, no payoff.
It was all set up and no payoff.
And that brand has always had very unique commercials.
Yeah.
I love watching their commercials.
Really well done.
Yes.
Very artful.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, really some great artistry. And
this one not up to that level?
I didn't think so. I thought it missed it. For these two actors to bring these characters back in this way, and then not to have a payoff, something that's even bigger, just to have them in the same spot, it just felt like...
Waste.
Yeah.
A waste.
It really wasn't there.
Pepsi, playing it up more than okay, Steve Carell, Cardi B, Lil Jon, nah.
Yeah,
didn't get me excited.
That's one I actually saw. And seriously, I have no idea what the heck was going on.
I like the concept of it. I like the server is asking the person at the restaurant, you know, or the person asks, "Can I get a Coke? And is Pepsi okay?" And so Steve Carell pops up, "Okay, it's more than okay."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I love the idea of that because we've all heard a server, a waitress, a waiter say that line is X okay in replacement of.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's brilliant because everyone has experienced that.
Sure.
And then it just goes
and
down.
It went away. Yeah, you're right. Michelob Ultra Organic, Zoe Kravitz, soft-spoken, but gave some serious vibe in this one. Like, I dug it.
Yeah,
it didn't blow me away, but I dug it.
No, it's really kind of it's sort of a muted approach, but it uses a sound in a very unique way.
Yeah.
So if it translates to people's televisions, it's going
to
be cool.
Let's listen to a little bit of it.
Let's all experience something.
But what it did is it stopped me in my tracks when I watched it, right?
Right.
And so you think about it in a party, in an atmosphere, you're kind of like, even if you didn't catch the beginning of it, you're almost turning around toward the screen and trying to figure out what.
Because it's messing with you, and a lot of people have stereo, or they set up their surround sound and everything else. So it has the ability to make a big impact.
Audi was one that I laughed at. I think that was the one that I actually did laugh at. And some of these you can't play because it's too visual. But the gag is the man who finally gets the big Audi in the sky is brought back after a coworker saves him from a near-death cashew incident. And he sees his grandfather. I'm telling you, that's probably the only one so far that I've seen that I said, I really like this one, and it made me laugh.
I tell you what, that's a good one. I like that one a lot. The Hyundai one with Jason Bateman, I thought was the best use of a celebrity. Had great humor in it.
Hyundai,
He plays an elevator operator, and people are asking for going through the car buying experience. Mm-hmm. So they get on the elevator of all these terrible experiences. His reactions are hilarious. The script is well written. And
Kia, there's one about shaming other companies for using celebrities and not real people. Mercedes got one with Ludacris, and then it's kind of related to cars, but Walmart's been playing that car commercial where they had the Knight Rider car and Ghostbusters. I don't know if you've seen that in Back to the Future. And this is going to be a live commercial, they said. And I think they're airing it before the Super Bowl.
Oh, really?
But a live version of this, which with famous character cars.
It's going to be the same concept about picking up your groceries, because that's what those cars are doing.
Curbside pickup.
Curbside pickup, right. Yeah.
Household goods. There's a Colgate one with Luke Wilson, Phil Flatt. It's about the close talker.
The close talker from Seinfeld, yeah.
Well, okay, did that.
Yeah, it doesn't really fly.
Tony Romo does a Skecher spot. If you like Tony Romo, I guess you might like that. I don't know.
Again, it's sort of milquetoast. There's not a lot of a there. It's sort of, yeah, okay.
Chicago's WeatherTech introduces her pet comfort thing. It's just kind of like, okay.
So this one, just in terms of a business discussion, for nothing else, if they're introducing a new product that has nothing to do with cars, it's about pet-safe food bowls.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even an adjacent industry. It is nothing to do with what they do or on message for them.
Yeah.
So it's like, what? You're using your Super Bowl spot for that?
Yeah, I guess so.
So, interesting.
Alexa. So this is another one that I liked to a degree. Went out for this celeb thing, failed Alexa experiments. Harrison Ford is in this thing. It's a long one. It's like a minute, 30 seconds. Let's listen to it, just a little bit of it, just for the concept.
Alexa, reheat pasta.
Reheating pasta. It's cool, right?
Yeah, I didn't know you guys put Alexa in a microwave.
Yeah, we're putting her in a lot of stuff now. But trust me, there are a lot of fails.
Like what?
Like...
Alexa, play my podcast.
When you heard that, did that surprise you? Barb seems exciting.
We made an Alexa dog collar for dogs.
Ordering dog food. Ordering dog food.
You can bark all you want. I'm not paying for any more dog food.
Ordering gravy. Ordering sausages.
Hey, you better cancel that order.
Alexa hot tub. Sucked.
Alexa, play music.
Okay.
Anyway, but here, the Harrison Ford portion was kind of funny.
Yeah, that's very funny. He does a great job on it.
Pringles with Alexa, upset because she can't order them. She can order them, but not taste them.
Right.
By the way, be careful of the Alexa, because I have the speaker up in here while you were just talking right before the commercial.
Is that true? Alexa, play WGN Radio.
I got my speaker off. I got it off because I'm hearing a voice. I'm thinking it's the ABC News Network alert, and I'm going, where's that sound coming from?
Alexa, order Roger some Pringles. There's a Skittle commercial about the Broadway musical. Skittle, this is the Broadway musical. Did you see some of that?
But
am I not getting that?
Yeah.
It's with Michael C. Hall.
That one got past me.
Okay. Avocados from Mexico with the dog show with Kristen Chenoweth. Mr. Peanut. What about Eminem with Christina Applegate? Did you catch that one?
Oh, yes. Yeah. She's hysterical in it.
She is. Let's take a listen.
Ow!
All right, guys, come on.
Get your foot out!
It's like kids fighting in the back seat.
Get your foot off of
him. Hey, watch it.
Hey,
stop.
Ow.
Cut it out.
I'm not doing anything.
Ow, quit it.
Okay, do I have to break you guys apart?
He started it. Stop it.
You stop.
Stop it. Guys, come on.
Excuse me.
Stop touching me. Okay, that's it. If you don't stop, I will eat all of you alive right now.
And they don't move on this new M&M chocolate bar.
I prefer the break us apart option.
Introducing the M&M's chocolate bar.
It was cute. Well, and I like her.
It's interesting for the fact that they've never used a Super Bowl spot to advertise a new product.
Yeah.
This candy bar is a new thing for them. So that's pretty cool.
I like the play on words, break us apart. It's a candy bar.
Ah.
Break it apart. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a take on, give me a break.
That's right. Look at you thinking about that.
I told you
that. See, you're worth something on the show.
I got to take a brain break right now.
Any other highlights that
the
you...
The one I think that might cause the most buzz is this Devour from Heinz, Kraft Heinz. It's a it's about food porn.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the one I think is going to be, people are going to be, okay, that was either great or not, but people will be talking about it the next day.
Very good. And then some movie trailers, by the way. Toy Story 4.
Yeah, I'm just crying right now. just start.
Which I believe Rickles is in.
He recorded
his parts before he passed away a couple of years ago. Handmaid's Tale, new season. Live action Aladdin is another one that we're going to see. Stranger Things season 3, and it's rumored, and this is the big one, that the final Star Wars movie might be in this thing, like a little tease something.
Right. I was actually at a Bears game
when
they brought out the Stormtroopers during the season. It was a couple of seasons ago, and they brought out the Stormtroopers onto the field during halftime.
It was this past Monday Night Football when they played against the Seahawks. They had debuted the new Star Wars trailer on
Monday Night Football. Was that what it was?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So did they do that a couple of years ago too?
Yeah, for the last one? Because Disney owns the Star Wars franchise, so anytime ESPN has a Monday Night Football broadcast, they will showcase that at halftime. Yeah,
and it was very strange to see the troops walking out on the field.
Absolutely.
And sort of, what's going on?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One last piece of trivia here. You know, there used to be a time where you would look at the top 10 television shows, rated shows of all time. And back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, you'd have 50, 60% of the audience. So ratings were quite high back then, obviously. Every Super Bowl so far makes up 9 of the top 10. There's a couple ties in there.
Yeah.
There's only one show, regular TV show, that still ends up in the top 10 with 105 million viewers. Do you know what it is?
It's not MASH still.
It is MASH.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is MASH.
The last episode.
Oh, yeah, so the top game ever was 114.4 million in 2005 or 2015. That was the highest rated, because the last couple of years it's been hovering around about 111 million people. So the last 2 years, both Super Bowls tied each other.
So
because of the ties, MASH hangs on.
Yeah, right.
To the last spot.
I honestly think that should be, sports should be
separate.
Own. Yeah, because it's global.
Because these days, the only things that get really good watchable ratings are sports and live events of some sort, award ceremonies and all that other good stuff.
Mr. Green?
Yeah.
You need any help?
Mm-mm.
I just want you to know, I think you're the best ever.
Yeah, sure.
Want my Coke? It's okay, you can have it.
No.
Really, you can have it.
Okay. A Coke and a smile makes me feel good.
I love that. That is a classic spot.
And how long ago was that? Was that 75?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. It was mid-70s. Dave Plyer and Jeff Rogers hanging out talking about Super Bowl commercials. And right now we're talking about the best Super Bowl commercials of all time. And somebody mentioned Master Lock, of course. I got three of them in. 773, another 773, and 847 about Mean Joe Green. So there it was. But 79.
Oh, 79.
It was 79, yeah.
I guess he was still on the Steelers in 75.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was an absolute classic.
Here comes the king, here comes the big number one. Budweiser beer, the king is second to none. Just say Budweiser, you've said it all. Here comes the king of beer, so lift your glass, let's hear the call. Budweiser beer's the one that's leading.
And that is classic, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And they've really used the Clydesdales over the last few years, really starting, I think, in 2001 after 9/11.
Yeah.
That they really did something pretty impactful about
the bow
stopping
and,
where the buildings were and so forth. But love that. Budweiser always, I think, leads the way in the funny
over the years, right?
They've defined it.
Yeah.
I mean, they really defined what the Super Bowl spot using humor is supposed to look like.
Yeah.
They had the frogs, right?
You got the frogs? Let's take a listen. We've got these ready for you, Jeff.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wise. Bud. Bud. Wise. Bud.
Let's play that one. We got what's up. Bud. Let's do that one now. Wise. Here, just fade this one. Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to pick up good yardage on the play. You know, the best part of this defense is their defensive line and their interior.
Hello? Hey, who? What's up? Nothing, B. Just watching the game, having a bud. What's up with you?
Nothing. Watching the game, having a bud.
True. True.
What's up?
What's up?
Yo, who's that?
Yo, pick up the phone.
Hello?
What's
up? What's up?
Yeah.
Yo, where's Dookie?
Yo, Dookie.
Yo.
What's that?
It does still make you laugh, doesn't it?
It just became part of the language.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everybody
really
was doing that.
That's right. The Apple commercial in 84 is a big one, of course, but it's I'm tired of playing it over and over again. The McDonald's Showdown. That was a favorite, I remember, in the 90s with Michael Jordan and Larry Bird, right? All about downtown
off
Chicago.
Off the ceiling.
Uh-huh.
Off the Sears Tower.
That was a classic. And then throwing the ball off the Hancock. I think that was the last one, right?
Nothing but net.
There was a Coke parade balloons commercial where they were showing there was a fight between Underdog and Stewie from Family Guy.
Right.
So you got old school, new school, and then there's a Coke bottle, and then Charlie Brown shows up and grabs the drink and goes, it's still one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Volkswagen The Force, that was a few years ago.
That one was just brilliant.
Right?
That had everything. It had pathos, it had comedy, it had an unexpected ending. I mean, if you want to design a perfect Super Bowl commercial, that would be pretty close to what you should do.
Right? Is there anything like that, and I've got a few more, but for you, is there any that like stick out like, one of my favorites? I mean, still one of my favorites.
Yeah, that VW one is...
That was right?
That's one for me that... It
was when the kid, everything. He thought he had the power. He was dressed up as Darth Vader.
Dressed as Darth Vader, and he's trying to use the Force in all of these different areas of the house and practicing, and nothing moves and nothing turns on. He walks outside, and he does it to the car, and all of a sudden it starts up, and it startles him.
Yeah.
And he's so happy and surprised by it. And then they cut to the kitchen where the father has just pointed the automatic start to the car, and he just kind of smiles like,
but you get it. You get what the spot is for.
Yep.
You get what the intention is, and you remembered the brand.
And the magic of the brand.
And the magic of the brand. That's right. Ram Trucks, The Farmer with Paul Harvey. I thought that was one of the cool ones.
Yeah.
I want to play a little bit of that, of Paul Harvey and talking about The Farmer, and that was for Ram Trucks.
And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a caretaker. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer. I need somebody with arms strong enough to wrestle a calf and yet gentle enough to deliver his own grandchild. Somebody to call hogs, tame cantankerous machinery, come home hungry, have to wait lunch until his wife's done feeding visiting ladies, then tell the ladies to be sure and come back real soon and mean it. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to sit up all night with a newborn colt and watch it die, then dry his eyes and say maybe next year. I need somebody who can shape an axe handle from a persimmon sprout, shoe a horse with a hunk of car tire, who can make harness out of hay, wire, feed sacks, and
pretty cool. Pretty cool spot. Snickers, the Betty White Abe Vigoda is still one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's a great one.
And it's only, I love hearing it because I love Betty and I love Abe at the end, but it was a Snickers spot where it was a kid and you're playing like Betty White out there, but it's actually Betty White. Let's take a listen.
Hut!
Mike, what is your deal, man?
Oh, come on, man. You've been riding me all day.
Mike, you're playing like Betty White out there.
That's not what your girlfriend said.
Baby.
Whoa,
whoa, whoa. Come
here. Eat a Snickers. Better?
Better. Hey!
I'm up there!
That hurt.
You're not you when you're hungry.
The fact that people thought, I mean, really, they thought he was dead 30 years
ago. Yes, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He is.
No,
he was then as well.
He was dead there.
He just brought him back.
All right, now here is my ultimate favorite, and I know this is going to sound crazy, but the commercial, one of the most surprising was when CBS had the Super Bowl. It was back, might have been late 90s, early 2000s, maybe it was 2000s, and it was David Letterman, Oprah, and Jay Leno.
Oh, yeah.
And it was promoting Letterman. And I remember hearing both sides of the story on how this went is obviously rivals. They were friends, and Dave supported Jay all the time on Late Night with David Letterman over the years. And once the Tonight Show takeover happened, I don't think they spoke much at all. And in fact, Dave was, both very bitter about it, but Dave especially.
Yeah, I think this commercial, when they got on set, was the first time.
And maybe the last, one of the last. And, Jay came in on a side door and they said hello to each other, sat down to the spot. They shook hands again and it was over. There was no deep conversation. It was hello, goodbye, but they were both into it. So it's very quick. Let's take a listen.
This is the worst Super Bowl party ever.
Now, Dave, be nice.
Oh, he's just saying that because I'm here.
No, he's just saying that because I'm here.
I think that was it. Yeah.
Do you remember the one, it's Halftime in America, Clint Eastwood coming out?
Yeah.
I think it was Chevy or Cadillac.
Was it before or after the Ram truck? I feel like it was before.
I think it was before, but I'm not 100% sure. But him coming out during that time, that garnered a lot of talk and a lot of good press for them as well.
It's halftime. Both teams are in their locker room discussing what they can do to win this game in the second half. It's halftime in America, too. People are out of work and they're hurting. They're all wondering what they're going to do to make a comeback. And we're all scared because this isn't a game. The people of Detroit know a little something about this. They almost lost everything. But we all pull together. Now Motor City is fighting again. I've seen a lot of tough eras, a lot of downturns in my life, times when we didn't understand each other. It seems that we've lost our heart at times. The fog of division, discord, and blame made it hard to see what lies ahead. But after those trials, we all rallied around what was right and acted as one. Because that's what we do. We find a way through tough times, and if we can't find a way, then we'll make one. All that matters now is what's ahead. How do we come from behind? How do we come together? And how do we win? Detroit's showing us it can be done. And what's true about them is true about all of us. This country can't be knocked out with one punch. We get right back up again, and when we do, the world's going to hear the roar of our engines. Yeah, it's halftime, America, and our second half's about to begin.
Jeff Rogers, thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Dave.